Tonight we look at the need and the method for Christian maturity. Now, there's nothing quite as sad as a Christian who is stunted in their spiritual growth. Maybe some of you have seen that before. You've seen some people that are very young in the Lord and they seem to be just, you know, racing down the track. And you see other people that, you know, you don't see them for 10 years and you see them again or you run into them somewhere and they're no further along than they were 10 years before. It shouldn't be so. We as believers should be constantly growing and maturing in the Lord. And you know, again, when we talk about maturing in the Lord, none of us are going to be fully mature until the day we're with the Lord. We know that. But we ought to be maturing along the way. There should be a difference we see from 1 year to the next. You know, you look at somebody's life and say, all right, I can tell they've grown some. I can see a difference. And that should be for all of us. You know, not just the pastor or the leadership of the church. Everyone in here, when people see you next year, they should be able to say, you know what? They've grown. There's maturity in their life. They're growing in at a certain rate. You know what it's like when you don't see kids for a while and you go away and maybe you go back and visit your cousins or your nieces or nephews or whatever you hadn't seen for a long time and they've just shot up like a weed. They've grown. And it's noticeable. You can recognize it. Well, the same thing should be happening in the spirit realm. People should be able to tell that we've grown. And so there's a need for Christian maturity we're going to see tonight. And there's also a method. So there's two things we're going to focus on. The need for Christian maturity and the method of how to do it. You know, a diaper is cute for a one-year-old, and it's expected. But for a 20-year-old, it's embarrassing and pathetic. And yet, how many Christians today are still not only wearing diapers, they're messing them on a regular basis? Now, I know that's a rather graphic example, and sometimes I have to be careful. Tracy says, Mark, you paint pictures too good. Be careful with what you say up there. And I realize that, but again, this makes the example very good, and that is it. You know, listen, all of us are going to stumble from time to time, but it shouldn't require a constant wearing of the spiritual diaper, so to speak, and there shouldn't be a constant cleaning needed. And I've noticed over the years, you know, as a pastor, I expect a baby Christian to have those regular times where, you know, where they have those regular mess ups, you know, and you work with them, you work with them. And even sometimes 2-3 years, you know, as they're learning to walk and you're teaching them how to walk with the Lord and this kind of thing. But when it gets 5, 6, 7 years down the road and they're still coming back with the same issues and the same problems, at that point it begins to go, come on, guys, come on, it's time to mature. You're not using the method and the power God's given you in the Holy Spirit to move on in Christ. You're stunted. You're stuck in that place. And so what the writer's heart is tonight is to speak to these Hebrews, these Jews that were progressing, at least at some point we're going to see, because he says they've come now again to need milk, and they apparently had gone beyond it, and now had so regressed they were back in it. And by the way, note this, the Bible teaches that if you're not moving forward as a Christian, you are moving backward. There is no such thing as neutrality. If you put it in neutral and you're on a hill, you roll. And so we're either moving forward or we're moving back as a Christian. And even Christians that have moved forward, I believe, can lose ground if they get away from the things that cause them to grow and to mature. It's something that's a constant walk and daily relationship with the Lord. Now, again, the reason that we need to mature as Christians is the same reason we need to as humans. That is, God has things for us to do. He has a work for us to do. And, you know, when you're a child, there's only so much you can do. When you become an adult, you can do a lot more. You know, my girls, they would always try to help me. And you know, when they were real little, Daddy, I want to help and all. And you know, sometimes you hesitate. Do I even let them help? Because they really, you know, they slow you down. When they're real little, they're not that much of a help. But you want them to help. You want them to learn. Then they really want to do it. And then there comes this age where they cross over. And it was interesting. The other day, Adai was helping me do something. And she was being a real help to me. And I guess I wasn't paying that much attention. She said, Dad, am I a help to you now? She said, I know when I was younger, sometimes I got in the way. I didn't help as much. I thought I was, but I probably slowed down. She said, am I actually helping? I said, you actually are. I said, you are maturing and you're growing and you're a big blessing to Dad. And I enjoyed you doing it then. That was okay. But now you're really an asset. You're really helping. You see, for the Lord, a lot of us is God's just trying to keep a lot of Christians just from messing up the witness and testimony to the world. They're stunted in their growth so much that all he's trying to do is keep them from giving him a bad name. God doesn't want us to be in a place where he always has to worry whether or not we're going to always be, you know, doing something that gives Christianity a bad name, you know, messing diapers in front of the world. That's going to happen from time to time. But God wants us to be those who go out in the world. Not only are we not giving him a bad name, we're advancing his name. We're taking ground and there's fruit in our lives. And people say, wow, that's a Christian? You know, I always thought it was this religion thing and people always have to act real stuffy. And all of a sudden they say, no, you can have joy and you can be normal. You don't have to be, you know, just whatever. Just enjoy the Lord and walk, you know, with God. And so maturity is so important. And again, why do some Christians mature and others don't? Well, we've already really touched on it, and that is because some apply the methods of maturity and some don't. And again, I think that a lot of times you don't even know what the methods of maturity were. You know, when I was a baby Christian, I didn't know the methods of maturity. But, you know, I found that I was doing them naturally anyway. And if you're seeking the Lord, you will be practicing the methods of maturity. And what will happen is you'll end up growing. The only way you're not going to grow is just to be lazy and not to be in the Word and in prayer. And again, we'll talk about, you know, that as we get through the Bible study. But what are the methods of maturity? I say, all right, there's methods of maturity, Pastor Mark. What are they? Well, here's what they are. It's nothing that's hard. It's regular and systematic study in God's Word, number one. And number two, regular and normal time in prayer. That's all it is. Regular time in God's Word, regular time in prayer. Those are the two factors for spiritual growth in the believer's life. And you know what? It really is very simple. God makes it very easy. And as a baby Christian, you don't even have to know that. You just kind of do it because you're reading the Word and you're just loving the Lord and you're growing. It's just happening. And here's the thing we have to realize as believers, there's no other way to grow. You've heard me say this over and over and over. And I think sometimes we hear it and go, oh yeah, that's how we grow. But let this register in your heart tonight. If you want to grow as a Christian, you have to be getting in the Word every day and in prayer. Now you'll grow some if you don't get in the Word every day. Don't get me wrong. But if you want to maximize your growth and you want to maximize your closeness to the Lord, it'll be something you do on a daily basis. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, what did Jesus say? If you're going to follow me, take up your cross daily. That word has always just kind of jumped out at me. Take it up daily. You know, deny yourself. Take it up daily and follow me. So it's a daily growth. It's a daily walk with the Lord. And you don't have to make it some kind of hard, difficult works thing. Just find a place you can get alone with the Lord and read His Word and pray. And that is the method. Those are the techniques to grow in the Lord. And so the Bible says that the Word of God is our spiritual food. And prayer, if you will, is a type of our spiritual drink. It is the waters where we see, where we receive the water of the Holy Spirit as we spend time in the Lord and get filled fresh and seek Him. So there's the food and there's the drink. Both of them are necessary. If you don't have both, you're not going to be properly growing. If you only eat but never drink, you'll have food, but you'll be dehydrated. And if you only drink but you never eat, you'll be hydrated, but you'll be malnourished. So you see how both of these scenarios will eventually lead to death. You've got to have both in your life or you're not going to be able to survive. You'll die physically, but you'll also die spiritually. Now, I'm not making reference to a loss of salvation. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you'll die in the sense of being alive in the Spirit if you're not doing both. You've got to be in the Word and in prayer. It's a 1-2 punch. And I can't tell you, you know, sometimes I tend to think that I can do it, you know, without that. You know? And I quickly remember, no, I can't. You know, and I wonder, why is everything so heavy and why does everything feel so overwhelming? You know, I had one of these times recently where things just felt kind of heavy. You know, I was thinking, man, everything seems so heavy. And I love how God does this. I don't like the heaviness, but I'll tell you what it does for me. And I know you're the same. It makes you seek the Lord. It drives you to prayer. Whether you like your situation or not, you're going to be saying help some. And you're going to be looking up to the Lord. And what I found is He gives help. He gives strength in the midst of it. So God has a reason for doing that. He knows what He's doing. And so we have to have both. You know, if we only study our Bible, but we never pray, here's what will happen. We'll gain knowledge, but we have no power to back it up. I've seen people like that. They study the Word of God all the time. They know everything about the Bible, but for some reason, when they share, their life seems powerless. I remember going to a conference one time, and a well-known speaker, who I'm not going to name, and no matter how much you try to get me to, so. But a true believer in the Lord, a well-known speaker, but I could tell he was not operating in the power of the Spirit. Every fact he had was right on. He was incredibly intellectual. He had studied his word studies. Everything was Greek, Hebrew. It was all in line, but it was dead as a doornail. And I realized this is a man who studies, but he doesn't pray. And then I've seen people before, you know, where they get up there and man, you can tell they pray, but they never study. I mean, they're just so full of Spirit. They're just, you know, they'll praise hallelujah yeah, to death. And they're all over the place. There's nothing wrong in that, being a little emotional, being excited. You see them filled with the Spirit. And, you know, just because somebody's excited doesn't mean they're filled with the Spirit. I think we all know that. I mean, I think sometimes rather than, you know, inspiration, it's just perspiration. But the bottom line is, I have seen people that were full of the Spirit. I can feel the Spirit flowing. And yet when it comes to anything of any depth to the Word, it's just like lacking. It's like that was really emotionally exciting and I felt my spirit lifted in emotions, but I don't feel like I left with anything satisfying in my spiritual stomach. You ever had that? And so what the balance is, we have to have time in the Word for that good feeding, for the food to go in our stomach and grow us spiritually. And then we have to have time in prayer and worship. And I include "and worship" in that because I think that's important. The Bible tells us to be worshipers as, you know, in, as part of our prayer life. So and worship, and we get filled with the Spirit, and we're just, you know, we have the water and the food. There's nothing better. And so that's exactly the scenario that Scripture gives us that we need to do if we're going to really grow in the Lord. And, you know, the thing about studying all the time but not being filled with the Spirit is you'll be right, but you'll be dead right. And the thing about being filled with the Spirit is you'll be, you know, overflowing with the Spirit, but you'll be dead wrong half the time. Because you've not been studying the Word of God. And you see a lot of these movements where there seems to be a real move of the Spirit, but their theology and their doctrine is just off. It's way off of Scripture, and they've left the bounds and the confines of Scripture, getting into all kinds of weird behaviors and teachings that you can't find in the Bible, but they just know it's God because they feel led by the Spirit. You've seen that before. Guys, never trust anything you can't find in the Word of God. Yes, we've got to be filled with the Spirit. Yes, we need to be led with the Spirit. It needs to be alive. But God will never leave the confines of His Word. And so we can rest assured that we're standing on solid ground when we do those things. Now, again, it takes both. And that's what we're going to see tonight, that balance of being able to grow, the need for maturity, and then the method of maturity. Well, let's jump into it. Notice verse 12. He says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you." Again, the first principles of the oracles of God. "And you've come to need milk and not solid food." Now, this verse is loaded. Notice, first of all, his point is, although they should be able to eat solid biblical food by now, their spiritual digestive system is only able to handle milk. And what is the difference? The difference is milk can sustain life in a baby for all it needs, but only solid food provides enough strength and energy for adult activities. And so as a baby Christian, milk's all you need. You're fine. You know, I remember as a baby Christian, you're just loving the Lord and you don't have the answers. You know how it is. You go to people and they say, "Well, you get saved and you say, I want to share the Lord with you." And they want to talk about pygmies and UFOs. If you notice, there's kind of a link there. I think if we ever do catch a UFO, there'll be pygmies on it. That's my personal opinion. But the bottom line is, what about the pygmies, you know, in Africa? And what about the UFOs and all that? And I remember thinking, I don't know, but I know Jesus died on the cross. And I know that He forgave me of my sin. I know that I was blind and now I see. And you can too if you believe. And we'll leave the pygmies and UFOs to the Lord. You need Jesus, right? And that's all you needed. That's the milk. That's the pure milk. It's the gospel. That's all you need. But you know, when you begin to grow, it's not enough to say, "I don't know." You begin to say, "No, I want to know." And I remember going, you know, you go witnessing, you begin to share, whether it's street witnessing or whether it's sharing with whoever, wherever you are, and they begin to ask you questions and you don't know the answer. Isn't that a terrible feeling? "Well, I don't know the answer." But let me tell you what, that is a healthy part of growing as a spiritual Christian. If that's happened to you, don't beat yourself up. This is God's way of saying to you, okay, time to dig. You know, time to get in the Word of God. So the next time they ask you, you have an answer to give them. This time you didn't. That's okay. You're growing. Don't beat yourself up. You tell them what you do know, what you don't know. Don't make up. Just, "I don't know that, but I know this. Jesus died on the cross." By the way, you can always go back to that and you're safe. "I don't know all those answers, but I know Jesus died for your sin and He loves you. And if you ask forgiveness, He'll forgive you and you'll be saved." So that I know we can't always do, no matter what level of maturity we're at. But here's what it did for me. You know, it bugged me that I didn't have answers. And so it drove me to the Word. And I run into you and you come up and share with me the same thing. You'll say, "I don't know the answers." And it drives you to the Word. And now you know the answers. You know, you either go to your pastor or you go to another Christian or you go to the Word of God, but you get the answer and now you're ready. That's a part of the maturity process. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. And so, you know, he says, "You guys here, milk is all you have to sustain yourself. And yet God wants to use us in spiritual battle. And therefore, to have the strength for spiritual battle, we have to have the solid food to take the battle and to go out to take, you know, ground for the Lord." Notice he says here that by now they should be teachers. That is, teachers of others. "But they themselves need to be taught." Now, how sad that he said, "Look, you should be teaching others by now. How long have you been in Christ?" "Well, this many years." You should be a teacher by now, whether it's in the kids' ministry or whether it's to your own family or what. You should be teaching. Doesn't mean you have to have a gift of teaching. You should be a teacher by now because you have all this knowledge. And Jesus said that everyone who has this treasure of knowledge should open it and share it. And so again, he says, "You guys should be teaching by now, but instead you're not teaching." And he said, you know, really, you need to be taught. You simply haven't moved on in maturity. And in fact, it appears here they've gone backwards. Notice he says they have again come to need milk. That shows that they, of course, needed milk when they came to the Lord, but now they've come back to where they need milk again. He says, I'd love to come and bring you a good steak dinner in the spirit, but your digestive system couldn't handle it. You know, by the way, isn't it steak and potatoes one of the hardest things to digest? You know, they say, you know, don't eat that, you know, before surgery or different times, you're having stomach problems or whatever. Why? Because it takes more effort for your body to digest that. And he's saying, if you're just a baby Christian, you're not growing, you're not going to be able to digest the deeper teachings of the Word of God because you're going to be stuck in the milk mode. You know, how many of us tonight, you know, I mean, how many are, you know, just maybe years and years and years, you know, just kind of sitting and listening, but we've never really moved on beyond that. And I think if that's where we are tonight, if we're just one of those people that sits and listens, but we never really serve, I think we need to honestly ask ourselves, you know, why am I doing this? Why am I just sitting and not serving? Is it because I'm not motivated or I'm not diligent or I don't want to? Or is it a lack of maturity? And once we identify what it is as to why we're not doing it, God has called all of us to step out and serve somewhere. And yet we have to find out where is it we're supposed to serve, and then we go out and do it. Get going, you know? And so he says to these guys, you know, you're back to the milk stage. He said, you should be moving forward. And notice here again, he says they needed to learn the very first principles and oracles of God. Now, the words first principles here literally mean the first in a series, like ABC, 1, 2, 3. He's saying you're starting all over, kind of like the first day you go to school. That's what I'm having to talk to you guys like. And the older Christians here were so immature, they couldn't handle anything but the very basics. The oracles of God is speaking of, you know, just the sayings of God, things that you should know the Word of God good, and you should have the basics in place, but you don't. And so again, it's a place a believer shouldn't be that has been walking in the Lord for any length of time. He says, for everyone who partakes only of milk, and there's a picture here in the language of only milk. There's nothing else your system can handle but the basics. You know, Jesus loves you. He died on the cross, and that's it, the basics, you know. Only milk. He's unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now again, each of these verses are, you know, just loaded up with interesting things. Notice, if milk is all we can handle, he says here, then we'll never become skilled in the word of God, the word of righteousness, because we're babes. You can't be skilled in something that you're not spending time in. You know, I think about Michael Jordan, a great basketball player, one of the best of all time. But you know, if he had never practiced, he had a lot of natural talent, didn't he? It was interesting. I was talking to one of my girls the other day. Somebody asked me, you know, what about, Tiger Woods? You know, when did he get so good? And I said, you know, for Tiger Woods, it was a combination of things. He had a natural ability, a God-given natural ability, but then he went and practiced that ability and developed it to the stage it is now. That's what we are as Christians. God has given us the ability in the Spirit to grow and to be used and to mature. It's everything you need. It's been given to you. There it is. But if you don't go out and swing a few spiritual golf clubs, you're never going to get the ball near the hole, much less in it. And so the bottom line is we have to do our part as well. God gives us the tools, but he says, all right, get going. And you think of Moses. We saw on Sunday night, you know, Moses made all these excuses. But Lord, you know, I can't. And again, send somebody else. Finally, God got angry. He said, look, I made you. I called you. I gave you the ability to do this. Stop saying send somebody else. Go do it. I've called you to do it. And so you see the same encouragement here. He's saying you should be able to do this, but you're not skilled in righteousness. Skilled literally means you're inexperienced. And hence what he's saying is if we only drink milk in the Word of God and never get to the meat or the deeper things of God, we're going to remain inexperienced in our walk with the Lord, and we're going to be very limited in any way God can use us. He can't move us on to the greater things. Notice he says they're babes here if they only drink milk. We're considered a spiritual babe if we only drink milk. Now, again, some of you guys that maybe visit church, you're thinking when I say spiritual babe, something else. I'm not talking about a good-looking girl. I'm talking about a spiritual babe in Christ. As a parent, I've learned that a baby will put almost anything in their mouth. Have you noticed that? You're a new parent, any of you guys, you know, that have kids? Drives you crazy, doesn't it? I mean, you have your life. That's because they put things in their mouth. New babes, they put things in their mouth. They don't realize it could poison them or even kill them. I remember once, to my horror, I was in a stall with one of the girls and I was doing something, you know, either getting some paper or turning around one of them there. And I turned around to my horror in this public restroom to see her licking the wall. You talk about praying, you know, crying out for God's mercy, you know, and give me your tongue, wipe it off. You know, I didn't do that, but I wanted to, you know. But you know what I found? And this is what's interesting. Here's the point. Listen, those who are babes in the Lord and immature, they'll put anything in their mouth that comes along. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean is they'll put anything they hear on TV or on radio in their mouth, whether it's good or bad. They can't discern. They watch TV. They think it's Christian, and some of it is, but a lot of it's not. That's on the Christian station. They listen to maybe Christian radio stations. A lot of it may be good. Maybe some of it's not. And yet they receive everything and take it in. They're putting everything in their mouth and taking everything in because they don't know to discern. They haven't exercised their senses. They haven't matured. And so what happens? They get pulled away into some kind of weird doctrine or weird teaching. And then oftentimes if they've done it long enough, you try to talk to them and say, you know what? This is not really that good. You know, then they get upset with you. I've exposed false teaching before that's been on TV and radio and had people get upset with me. And why did they get upset? Because I was wrong? No, I knew what I was sharing was biblical and online and what they needed encouragement in their moment, but it was because they were babes in Christ. And because they weren't mature, but they were just letting someone else spoon feed them all the time, then whenever somebody stuck a spoon out, they ate it. You know, if somebody sticks a spoon out to me at this age, I'm going to look at it for a minute. Say, now what's on that spoon? And the same thing is true when it comes to hearing the Word of God. When you're hearing someone teach the Bible, don't just open your mouth and take everything in like a babe. Examine it. Paul said the Bereans were more noble-minded than the Thessalonians in that they went home and searched the scriptures daily to see if these things be so. Modern translation, I went and taught them. I went to the Thessalonians. I taught them. They just took everything in. I mean, I just spoons. They were just whatever I gave, they ate. Good thing it was Paul. What if it had been a false teacher? He says, now I went to the Bereans. I put the spoons out and they said, those are nice looking spoons, but we're going to look at that for ourselves. And before they put the spoon in their mouth and swallowed it, you know, they examined it. And I think before we swallow some teaching that we're hearing, we need to go to the Word of God and say, okay, that's nice, but where is that? And so there's wisdom. And there's and also, there's a great help in maturity just because, again, you don't put everything that comes to your, you know, if you're a babe, you put everything in. You don't put everything in your mouth that comes to it, you know? Anyway, he says, hey, you're unskilled, you're babes. Notice, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, they can tell the difference between good and evil. They've learned to discern good and evil because they have exercised their spiritual senses. They've been in the Word. They've been in prayer. They've examined the Scriptures to see if these things be so. And so he says, notice he says, those who can handle solid food are those of full age, we would say mature. And again, they matured by using and exercising these spiritual words, and because of it, they've become skilled at it. The language, interesting to me, speaks of a habitual or vigorous use of the spiritual senses. Notice that. It means as a habit of life, they're using their senses, and not only as a habit of life, in a very vigorous way. It's not casual snacking on the Word. It's devouring the Word of God. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Not blessed are those who grab an occasional snack as they run by the spiritual counter. See, you want to grow? You're hungry? Go eat. You want to drink? The well is overflowing. But you got to come. You got to get alone. You've got to seek Him. It doesn't happen by osmosis. It happens by getting alone with the Lord. And what's the result of that? Notice he says they'll be able to discern good and evil. We talked about a babe is unable to discern that. They can't discern what's right and what's wrong. But as the senses are exercised, as the Word of God is learned, they grow in discernment and they gain discernment. Now, there's two kinds of discernment in Scripture. Number one, there's a gift of discernment. That is, God just gives a supernatural gift. You could be a babe in Christ and boom, if God gives you that gift, you can discern. But you know what? You don't know why something's wrong. You just know it's wrong. Some of you have that gift and you know right now what I'm talking about. You were a baby Christian and maybe you went to a study somewhere or you turned something on that you'd never seen. And the moment they started talking, you just said, I have no idea any information on this thing they're talking about, but it's not right. And you knew. You didn't know why you knew, but you just knew. You know what that is? That's a gift of discernment. You say, all right, well, Mark, what about those of us who don't have a gift of discernment? Well, the Bible, here's the good news. The Bible says you can exercise yourself in your spiritual senses to a level of discernment. Even without the spiritual gift of discernment, you will grow and gain discernment by exercising the spiritual gifts God has given you, or rather the spiritual exercises God has given by being in the Word and in prayer. So as you do that, you begin to discern good and evil. And you'll just begin to tell, something about this is not right. I don't know what it is, but something about this is not right. And that comes from exercising the spiritual senses. And so again, a discernment is what keeps the Christian from getting sucked into the false teaching that we talked about. And it comes through that exercise as we develop in that spiritual discernment in spending time in the Word of God. Now, notice also, though, it's not just discernment we gain with solid food, but we've mentioned this, the ability to recognize both good and evil. Again, Satan is a master of disguise. And oftentimes what Satan will do is he will disguise someone that looks like the real thing and make it look right. But if you don't have discernment, you're not going to be able to tell whether it's the real thing or not. I guarantee you those people that follow Jim Jones over there to, you know, their deaths and their whole, you know, cult thing they had going, they had no idea. You know, they didn't think, hey, this guy's going to put us all to death. They believed he was a true man of God, a spiritual leader. Why? They had no spiritual discernment. And they couldn't tell because they obviously had not exercised their senses. It's very obvious. I'm not picking on those that met that tragic end. My point is, it's because of a lack of understanding of the Word of God that they were sucked into that. The Bible says, my people perish due to what? Lack of knowledge. And that is why the teaching and the study of the Word of God is so important. And he says, you know, you've got to exercise these senses to learn the difference of good and evil. Sometimes things look good when really underneath they're not. You know, they're evil. I think about, again, Paul. Paul's traveling around, remember, giving the gospel, and he's got this group of people following him, and there's this woman there. It tells us in the scripture a little bit later she's possessed, but Paul didn't know that at first. And she's walking around behind Paul, right? Going, these are the servants of the Most High God. These are the servants of the Most High God. These are the servants. And she's making a big scene as Paul's sharing, right? And witnessing. She's making this great big scene. And some people might see that and say, wow, what a bold woman. How exciting. I'm glad to see her stepping out there and not being afraid. It was demonic. And why was it demonic? It was making Paul and those with him look foolish. And if you can make them look foolish, who wants to be one of them, right? And so Paul, after a few days, I love that it says, being greatly annoyed, he turned around and said, come out of her. And the demon came out and she had peace and so did everybody else from that point on. Again, guys, it's not always, you know, what we present, but even how we present it. And I think sometimes Satan uses this. Sometimes I flip on, you know, the Christian TV ever so often, you know, and again, there's some real good people on there. I'm not saying, I know there's some good ones on there, but there's a lot of real bad ones. And sometimes I'll flip by there just kind of, what's going on? You know, what's the new thing, you know, this month? You know, the thing that whatever's going on kind of thing. And they look so foolish. And I think if the world was to flip to this, who would want to be a Christian? The thinking Christian is going to see that and say, that's Christianity? I don't want it. And I think, you know what? That's the woman following Paul. That's just the woman following Paul. Oh, she looks like she's right there, hands raised, jumping up and down, praise the Lord, hallelujah. But everybody's going, oh, get back from her or him or whoever it is you're watching. And the reason being is because that's not God doing it. It's actually something that's driving people away because it's not being done the proper way. And so he says, you got to learn to discern good and evil. Know the difference between what's right and wrong, not just outward appearance, but go a little deeper than that. Discern what's happening. He says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Now notice he says, going on to perfection. It means moving on to the next thing. This is the Bible's way of saying, move on to maturity. You've been long enough a child, you've been long enough a babe in Christ, it's time to move on to maturity because they were stuck in this state of spiritual lethargy and stunted growth. And he says, stop discussing all the basics that you already know and move on. It's the same word used in the worldly schools of the day to mean a higher state of instruction. It's time to move to a higher place of instruction and to realize, you know, you've got to move on, you've got to mature. Now, it's interesting, the word leaving here, he says, leaving these behind is a command. He's commanding it. And it means to lay something aside and leave it behind. Now, he's not saying that we're to reject or forget or abandon the basic truths of Christianity because these basic foundations are wonderful. Matter of fact, every new believer should be taught these basics that he mentions right here. What he's saying is you can't just stay there and not learn and grow to the next level. Yes, learn that. That's good, but don't stay there. I've seen people that, you know, and really even on, you know, you see on TV, pastors and congregations that do nothing each week but remind themselves that Jesus died for their sins and rose from the grave. Now, don't get me wrong. That should be preached on a regular basis. Matter of fact, every week wouldn't be bad. Every week, Jesus died for your sins and rose again. So I'm not saying that's bad. That's the gospel. We've got to be preaching the gospel. What I'm saying is, if that's all we ever preach, nobody's ever going to go beyond that. You're going to have churches filled with people that know how to lead people to Christ, and that's the best. I agree, because they're in the kingdom. But no one's ever going to go on to maturity. And so, it's interesting. The Bible says that God has given us, you know, evangelists and teachers. We would say today preachers and teachers. It's a gift of God. God has given both. And what's the difference? Preaching deals with evangelism. To preach is to bring the lost to Christ. It is the person that's giving the gospel and saying, Jesus died for your sins on the cross. You're a sinner. Right now you're separated from God, and the only way you can be reconnected to God is to confess your sin to Him, believe that His death on the cross paid for you, receive Him as your Lord and Savior, and then you'll be born again, and you can inherit the kingdom of God. Giving the gospel, that's what a preacher or an evangelist does. God, that is a gift of the Lord. It's needed in the church. However, a teacher brings them from the point of salvation now to maturity. And that's why every church must have both. There must be evangelism and teaching. There's the opportunity to give the gospel and to hear the gospel and to receive Christ. And then there's the teaching to bring them to maturity. And the problem is that if it's only evangelism each week, again, that's good for salvation. But you're going to have a very shallow church, a lot of saved people, but nobody is going to know what to do. And everybody's going to be just kind of stuck in the state of stunted growth. There's got to be a place where you say, all right, you're in Christ. Now let's get in the Word of God and teach you, as it says in Ephesians, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And that's really the job of the teacher, the pastor teacher, if you will. And again, a lot of pastor teachers are also evangelists. I think that's a great thing. You know, some simply do the work of an evangelist. Some have the gift of evangelism. But both are essential in the church. And if one or the other is gone, the church will be deficient. And so, again, he goes now and begins to mention these foundational things here that are very important in the church. Notice he says, you need to leave these things, but here, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Now, again, what are the first two foundational truths that he mentions here? That is repentance from dead works, number one, and faith toward God. Now, what is repentance from dead works? That simply means stop living in sin. You know, a lot of people say a prayer, but they never stop living in their sin. That's essential. The Bible says if you're going to be saved, you have to not only ask Christ into your life, you have to repent of your sin, receive Him as Lord. You have to stop living in the way you've been living. That doesn't mean we're sin-free. We know that. But what it means is that you turn away from the known sin and you're no longer living on a regular basis in sin. That's necessary. That's a foundational truth. Repentance from sin in order to receive Christ. You have to do that. And the other one is faith toward God. What is faith toward God? It simply means we're to believe in what Jesus has done on the cross. And it's interesting to me that he declares that repentance is a basic and elementary foundation. But again, a lot of people don't understand that. I think a lot of people simply stop at the prayer. But there's the repentance. There's the faith toward God. And notice he gives another four here. He goes next, number three, of the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Now, notice these next foundational truths. That is baptisms. This speaks of the ritualistic cleansing that the Jews used to do. But the word baptismos that's used there also has the root word in it of where we get water baptism. And so notice he says the baptisms, the elementary thing of baptisms. We know there's more than one baptism in Scripture. There's the regular baptism in water. There's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's several baptisms the Bible talks about. And so he refers to it here in the plural. But he says these are foundational things. They're basic elementary principles. You don't need to waste all your time on that. He says of the laying on of hands, what was the purpose of laying on of the hands? Laying on of hands was basically to sanction someone for ministry. You'd lay hands on them and pray for them so that God would use them. You would lay hands on them for healing. There were different things used of laying on of hands. Next, the resurrection of the dead. That is that the Bible teaches that one day we'll be resurrected to a new body and we'll live forever with the Lord in that new body. And then lastly, of eternal judgment. You know, it's interesting to me here. He talks about these as basic foundational principles. It's amazing to me how many people today don't know some of the basic foundational principles, whether it's of the different baptisms or even one that I was thinking of today, eternal judgment. There are people within the church that don't believe that judgment is going to be eternal. The writer here says that's a basic elementary principle. If you don't understand that the judgment of God is eternal, you don't understand the ABCs of what the Bible teaches. And a lot of people don't understand that even today. So we understand how, you know, he's having to teach this to them as well. He says you have to understand the basic principles and not just, the greater things as well. But if you stay in the basic principles, you're not going to grow. And notice he says, this we will do if God permits. Interesting. Why does he say this we will do if God permits? But because unless God opens the eyes and the hearts and allows them to move forward in this, it will do them no good. You know, we've got to receive it. Now, see, here's the challenge for us tonight. And that is this. Number one, are we mature Christians? Now, if you're a baby Christian, you're new in the Lord, and you ask, are you a mature Christian? Well, you're probably not mature yet. You're a baby in the Lord. But I want to challenge you on this, you know, and if you've been in the Lord for any length of time and you're not maturing, why not? This is not to make you feel bad. It's to challenge you and say, examine your life. You know, the same goes for me. I examine my life. Am I moving forward, Lord? You know, as a pastor, it's interesting. The Bible says when Paul wrote Timothy, he said, you know what? Your progress should be evident to the entire church. I mean, if there's anybody under a spotlight, it's the pastor, you know? And so I have to examine myself first and say, God, am I growing any? And if I'm not growing, then why am I not growing? What do I need to do? My challenge for us tonight is this. Are we growing? Can you honestly say right now, I can tell that I've grown from last year till this time. Now, I know when you're the one doing the growing, it's harder to see. You know, remember you're a kid, you're growing up, and everybody else can tell you've grown, but you really can't that much. Oh, you've grown. Like, well, I wish I could tell. You know, until you really grow, you can't tell. So you can't always see it as clearly as other people, but you should be able to tell. And what are some ways you can tell? Well, you know, maybe you've had a struggle with foul language. You came to the Lord, you're battling with foul language, and you've battled with it, and all of a sudden something happens one day that normally that would have been the vocabulary. It doesn't come out. And you're like, hey, I didn't even really try to do that. It just didn't come out. You're maturing. You're growing. Maybe somebody does something that normally you would get very upset about, whatever that might be. I guess the easy one to think about is something in traffic, you know. And you know what? You don't get upset. Or if you do, it's not to the point of chasing them around town and flashing your lights. So you see some maturity there, you know. And there needs to be that. You know, when it comes to maturing, there's really no excuse for us, guys. This is a very serious discussion. There's no excuse for us. We need to be growing in Jesus. And if we're not growing in Jesus, it's our fault. The Holy Spirit will do the work, but he's given us the tools. What are your tools? The Word of God and prayer. I want you to ask yourself right now, do I have a regular quiet time with the Lord? Do I have a time where I sit alone and get in the Word of God and get in prayer? You know the answer to that right now. You might say, well, no, I don't. Well, then just say, all right, Lord, I want to grow. I'm tired of being a baby in Christ. I'm ready to grow. Let's do it. I'm going to start learning to pick up my own spoon and fork, and I'm going to open the Word and not just get fed by the pastor, you know, on Sunday or Wednesday. I'm going to start going and get my own meals, and you start growing. That's okay. It's okay to do that. It may be humbling, but it's good to admit that. And there may be some of you that are saying, well, I do, but not as much as I should. Well, why not? Look at your schedule. Find out what your schedule is like. Carve in a time where you can have that time in the Word and prayer. I feel the most for the moms. I think that's almost impossible as a mom, especially when kids are a certain age. I know that Tracy went through a phase there with the girls, and they're everywhere. I mean, basically, all you can do is set your Bible out on the counter, and as you walk by with screaming kids, you read a verse and keep going. You know what I mean? But that's okay. God knows that, doesn't he, moms? He knows that. God knows it's not because you don't want to. And then by the time you go to bed and the alarm goes off in the morning, you're so tired. You know what I'm saying? You're just exhausted. God knows that. The Bible says God will gently lead those who are with young. And there's a picture there of not only those who are with young, but the idea comes with those who are weak. And so God understands that. This is not to, you know, if you have physical struggles and different things, but there needs to be some way you work it out and say, all right, I can have this time. And I can remember, you know, she would put the Bible out and just read things throughout the day as she walked by because it was so much attention needed for all the kids and stuff like that. And it might not be, you know, your only prayer time might be when you go to the restroom, you know, and they can't get in. You know, you lock the door. You know, it's like, you know, Mom, are you finished yet? You know, just a minute, honey. And just pray. Even if it's just to stand in there and pray for a minute. But it's amazing. If you be creative, you can do it. You really can. I've heard of other people that, and again, I don't suggest this while you're driving. But they have their Bible with them in the car. Because of circumstances maybe where they can't, like normal people, as much. And they have the Bible there and they stop at a red light and they sit there and they're reading it, you know. And you do it when you're stopped, obviously. And you know, and if you're at that red light and you're reading, you know, don't worry. When it turns green, the guy behind you will let you know. But it's better, guys, it's better than saying, I just can't do it right now. If you want to grow, now, you're not going to grow as much during those seasons. There are seasons where it's harder because of small children or maybe the work schedule or a physical problem. There are seasons where maybe you can't spend as much as you'd like to, but there's no excuse for not every day a little bit. Every day. God makes that possible. He's asked us to do it. Jesus wouldn't have said, if you want to follow me, take up your cross daily. He wouldn't have said that if it was impossible, which means we can, not as a legalism, not as a burden, not as something heavy. It's a joy. You know, take God's word and begin to just kind of, you know, let it digest. You know, it was interesting. As I was studying this tonight, you know, sometimes when I come across things in Scripture, like, you know, babes in Christ and eating solid food, and I started thinking of spiritual digestion. I started looking up, you know, the digestive tract and the way that things work in the stomach. And it's amazing when you eat, and don't worry, I'm not going to go into too much detail to see stomachs and stuff, you know. But it's amazing when you eat, there's different processes in every stage, the way the food goes to the stomach and moves through, where the body absorbs different nutrients. At different times, it absorbs it. And finally, there's nothing else left to absorb. And see, and that's really how we are as believers. We read the Word of God, and even if it's only a few verses that we can meditate on and just kind of just chew over in our mind and let soak in, then we absorb that. It begins to become a part of us, and we're going to grow some. Now, again, your level of growth is going to depend on, you know, how much you eat and how much you drink. That's just a fact. But it doesn't mean you can't be growing some. And so I challenge us, you know, just with a heart of challenge tonight, you know, we might say, well, I haven't really grown any, Pastor Mark. You know, I can't see that much growth in my life. So here's the good news. You can start now. You know, you can start now. Tomorrow. Set the alarm a little earlier or do something at the lunch break or, you know, whatever. Doesn't mean you can't even eat lunch. I'm not saying that, you know. I'm just saying work it out to where there's some way that you can do it. You'd be surprised. Ask God to help you be creative. And I believe that most of us, I say that as a concession, I believe most of us can carve out a chunk of time we can spend with the Lord in prayer if we really want to. But I say that for those like the moms and some that are in a certain season where they're just trying to survive. And God will make that possible to do that. But what I want to do tonight, let's just ask the Lord to really help us. Let's pray right now and say, God, help us. We want to grow. We want to grow. We want to mature. It doesn't mean we're going to be, you know, perfect in the sense of never sinning again, but perfect in the sense of beginning to mature and to grow in the Lord. And I think it's good, you know, when, you know, moms and dads take that spoon and feed and all that, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But how much better when you can just sit down on your own, man, and just open up the fridge and plop it down and just go for it.